Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for In the News and American Stories, coming up after As It Is.
Hello again, and welcome to As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans in Washington. Today on the program, we have two stories related to politics in both India and Burundi. First, India's ruling Bharatiya Janata Party, or BJP, and the People's Democratic Party, or PDP, have created a coalition government to rule Kashmir state. It is the first time the BJP has had a part in governing India's only Muslim-majority area. Christopher Cruz has more.
I will uphold the sovereignty and integrity of India.
The swearing-in of the new government took place in the state's winter capital, Jammu. Mufti Mohammed Saeed of the People's Democratic Party took the oath as Kashmir's chief minister. Nirmal Singh from the Bharatiya Janata Party was sworn in as his deputy. Prime Minister Narendra Modi attended the historic ceremony to watch a member of his party become, for the first time, one of the state's top governing officials. Until now, the BJP has not had much political power in Jammu and Kashmir. India and Pakistan have had a long dispute about which country the area belongs to. Anti-India feelings are strong in the state. The two parties negotiated for weeks to build an alliance after mixed results in November elections. The PDP won in the Muslim-majority Kashmir Valley. The BJP received huge support in the Hindu-majority Jammu area. The two parties have settled some differences, but they agreed to disagree on their more complex differences. Chief Minister Saeed described it as the coming together of the North Pole and the South Pole. Satish Misra is a researcher at the Observer Research Foundation in New Delhi. She says the alliance between the two parties could help Kashmir become integrated with the rest of the country. She says the BJP will have to become more moderate in its political positions if it is to grow its influence in the Kashmir Valley. The BJP eased its opposition to a constitutional measure that would give Kashmir self-rule. The PDP eased its demand to cancel a very unpopular law that gives Indian soldiers wide powers to search and shoot people in the state. The new government says its top goal will be the state's development, but political observers say there is skepticism in Kashmir Valley about the BJP having a part in governing the state. Noor Ahmad Baba is a political science professor at Kashmir University. He says the skepticism is combined with hope. He says people believe the political alliance might speed up development of the mountainous area and its recovery from floods last year that caused severe damage. Soon after taking office, the new chief minister said peace was a condition for the state's development. He said he supports talks with Kashmiri separatists and a peace process with Pakistan.
We want to make this alliance a turning point in trying to meet hearts and minds of people.
Some observers say the fact that the BJP is now part of the governing coalition in Kashmir could mean there will be talks between the central government and Kashmiri separatists. Prime Minister Modi's government has opposed such efforts. I'm Christopher Cruz.
You are listening to As It Is from VOA Learning English. Burundi is facing unrest before its presidential election in June. People are questioning the right of President Pierre Nkurunziza to seek a third term. Mr. Nkurunziza has led the country since 2005. Kelly Jean Kelly reports.
Advisors, political observers, and Burundi's opposition party all say the president plans to seek re-election. The move is disputed because the Constitution limits a president to 2 5-year terms. Mr. Nkurunziza was first elected to the presidency in 2005. His election was the result of a National Assembly vote, not a popular election. At the time, he was the only presidential candidate. In 2010, voters elected Mr. Nkurunziza to a second term after the opposition candidate left the race. Now, some observers say it may not be illegal for the president to seek a third term, but they say it might not be the right thing to do. John Manirakiza is from Burundi. He says no one should be able to serve for more than 10 years, whether or not the Constitution allows a third term. He notes that the country is still arguing about a presidential candidate only 3 months before the election. That fact, he says, shows the country's politics are dysfunctional or unhealthy. Agathon Rwasa is the leading opposition candidate. He agrees Burundi's political situation is bad and may be getting worse. Recently, media reported large demonstrations in the country's capital. Isidore Intirampiba is with the Burundian embassy to the United States. He points out that President Nkurunziza did not choose to run in 2005. Instead, his party appointed him. And, Mr. Ntirambiba says, the president's party has not yet named a candidate for the 2015 election. The United Nations Security Council has commented on the situation. In a statement released last month, council members called for a free, fair, and peaceful election process. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans. Thanks for listening.
In the News is next, followed by American Stories. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
from VOA Learning English. This is In the News. Israelis elected a new parliament this week. The results gave 30 seats in the 120-member parliament to the Likud party of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The Zionist Union finished second, winning 24 seats. A union of four Arab-led parties won 14 seats to become the third-largest group in Israel's parliament, the Knesset. Mr. Netanyahu has said he plans to form a government in the next 2 or 3 weeks. He said he already spoke with smaller parties on forming the 61-seat coalition he needs to govern. On Thursday, Zionist Union leader Isaac Herzog said his party will not join the coalition. In the United States, debate has begun over how the election results will affect U.S. relations with Israel. Differences on major issues have led to increased tensions between the countries. Earlier this month, Prime Minister Netanyahu traveled to Washington and spoke to a joint meeting of the U.S. Congress. His comments about nuclear negotiations with Iran angered the administration of President Barack Obama. He called a yet-to-be-announced agreement with Iran a bad deal. There are also tensions about the Middle East peace process. Earlier this week, Mr. Netanyahu said he would never support a Palestinian state. His comment came in the final hours of the election campaign. It appeared to overturn the position he had held as prime minister when Israelis and Palestinians held peace talks. Those negotiations eventually broke down. On Thursday, Mr. Netanyahu appeared to step away from that comment. He told American media he does not object to a demilitarized Palestinian state. But he said that creation of such a state is not possible at the current time. In the United States, lawmakers of the two major parties have congratulated Israel on the elections. But there was a striking difference in public statements between Republicans and Democrats. The Speaker of the House of Representatives, John Boehner, was satisfied with the election results. "Heartfelt congratulations to Netanyahu," he wrote on Twitter. Another Republican, Utah Senator Orrin Hatch, made clear he was cheering for Mr. Netanyahu, or, as he calls him, Bibi.
Bibi is one of the strongest people I've seen in the world. So you got to give him a lot of credit for winning that election, and personally I believe that's in the best interest of Israel, and I'm glad they made that choice.
But many Democrats seemed to avoid discussion of Mr. Netanyahu at all. Pennsylvania Senator Bob Casey described the ties between the United States and Israel as unbreakable.
"We're going to be not only supportive of Israel's security, but also reaffirming the values that bring our countries together. So that's ensured, I think, no matter what happens in any election."
Another Democrat, Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, had a similarly measured reaction.
"I'm looking forward to continuing to work with Prime Minister Netanyahu in seeking peace in the Middle East."
Neri Zilber is with the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. He says the United States may continue having problems with Mr. Netanyahu's way of doing things. But he expects a continued U.S. push for its policy objectives in Israel. In his words, the U.S. will likely put forward its own idea with respect to what a negotiated final status agreement looks like, whether Mr. Netanyahu and the Israeli government like it or not. And that's In the News from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Jones-Cruz.
Now, the VOA Learning English Program, American Stories. Our story is called The Celebrated Jumping Frog of Calaveras County. It was written by Mark Twain. Here is Shep O'Neill with the story.
A friend of mine in the East asked me to visit old Simon Wheeler to ask about my friend's friend, Leonidas W. Smiley. I did as my friend asked me to do, and this story is the result. I found Simon Wheeler sleeping by the stove in the ruined mining camp of Angels. I saw that he was fat and had no hair and had a gentle and simple look upon his peaceful face. He woke up and gave me good day. I told him a friend had asked me to find out about a friend named Leonidas W. Smiley, who he heard was at one time living in Angel's Camp. I added that if Mr. Wheeler could tell me anything about this Leonidas W. Smiley, I would feel a great responsibility to him. Simon Wheeler forced me into a corner with his chair and began telling me this long story. He never smiled, he never frowned, but all through the endless story, there was a feeling of great seriousness and honesty. This showed me plainly that he thought the heroes of the story were men of great intelligence. I let him go on in his own way and never stopped him once. This is the story Simon Wheeler told.
Leonidas W. Well, there was a man here once by the name of Jim Smiley in the winter of 1849, or maybe it was the spring of 1850. Anyway, he was the strangest man. He was always making money on anything that turned up if he could get anybody to try to make money on the other side. And if he could not do that, he would change sides. And he was lucky, uncommon lucky. He most always was a winner. If there was a dog fight, he would try to win money on it. If there was a cat fight, he would take the risk. If there was a chicken fight, he would try to win money on it. Why, if there was two birds sitting on a fence, he would want you to decide which one would fly first so he could win money. Lots of the boys here have seen Nat Smiley and can tell you about him. Why, it did not matter to him. He would try to make money on anything. He was the most unusual man. Parson Walker's wife was very sick once for a long time, and it seemed as if they were not going to save her. But one morning he come in, and Smiley asked him how his wife was, and he said she was better, thank God. And Smiley, before he thought, says, "Well, I risk my money, she will not get well." And Smiley had a little small dog. To look at the dog, you would think he was not worth anything but to sit around and look mean and look for a chance to steal something. But as soon as there was money, he was a different dog. Another dog might attack and throw him around two or three times. Then, all of a sudden, Smiley's dog would grab that other dog by his back leg and hang on till the men said it was over. Smiley always come out the winner on that dog, at least until he found a dog once that did not have any back legs. The dog's legs had been cut off in a machine. Well, The fighting continued long enough, and the money was gone. Then, when Smiley's dog come to make a grab the other dog's back legs, he saw in a minute how there was a problem. The other dog was going to win, and Smiley's dog looked surprised and did not try to win the fight anymore. He gave Smiley a look that said he was sorry for fighting a dog that did not have any back legs for him to hold, which he needed to win the fight. Then Smiley's dog walked away, laid down, and died. He was a good dog, and would have made a name for himself if he had lived, for he had intelligence. It always makes me feel sorry when I think of that last fight of his and the way it turned out. Well, this Smiley had rats and chickens and cats and all of them kind of things. You could not get anything for him to risk money on, but he would match you. He caught a frog one day and took him home and said he was going to educate the frog. And so he never done nothing for 3 months but sit in his backyard and teach that frog to jump. And you bet you he did teach him, too. He would give him a little hit from behind, and the next minute you would see that frog dancing in the air and then come down all on his feet and all right, like a cat. Smiley got him so the frog was catching flies, and he would catch one of those insects every time. Smiley said all a frog wanted was education, and he could do almost anything. And I believe him. Why, I have seen him set Dan'l Webster down here on this floor, Dan'l Webster was the name of the frog, and sing out, "Flies, Dan'l, flies!" And quicker than you could shut your eyes, that frog would jump straight up and catch a fly off the table. Then he would fall down on the floor again, like a ball of dirt, and start rubbing the side of his head with his back foot, as if he had no idea he had been doing any more than any frog might do. You never seen a frog so honest and simple as he was, for all he was so skilled. And when it come to jumping, he could get over more ground in one jump than any animal of his kind that you ever saw. Smiley was very proud of his frog, and people who had traveled and been everywhere all said he was better than any frog they had ever seen. Well, one day a stranger came in and says to Smiley, "What might be that you have got in the box?" And Smiley says, "It's only just a frog." And the man took it and looked at it careful and turned it round this way and that and says, "So it is." "Well, what is he good for?" "Well," Smiley says, easy and careless, "he can outjump any frog in Calaveras County." The man took the box again and took another long look and gave it back to Smiley and says, "I don't see anything about that frog that is any better than any other frog." "Maybe you don't," Smiley says. "Maybe you understand frogs, and maybe you don't. Anyways, I will risk $40 and bet you that he can jump farther than any frog in Calaveras County." And the man studied a minute. "Well, I'm only a stranger here, and I do not have a frog. But if I had a frog, I would risk my money on it." And then Smiley says, "That's all right. If you will hold my box a minute, I will go and get you a frog. And so the man took the box and put up his $40 and sat down to wait. He sat there a long time, thinking and thinking. Then he got the frog out of the box. He filled its mouth full of bullets used to kill small birds. Then he put the frog on the floor. Now, Smiley had caught another frog and gave it to the man and said, "Now sit him next to Dan'l, and I will give the word." Then Smiley says, "One, two, three, go," and Smiley and the other man touched the frogs. The new frog jumped. Dan'l just lifted up his body, but could not move at all. He was planted like a building. Smiley was very surprised and angry, too, but he did not know what the problem was. The other man took the money and started away, and when he was going out the door, he looked back and said, "Well, I don't see anything about that frog that is any better than any other frog." Smiley stood looking down at Dan'l a long time, and at last says, "I wonder what in the nation happened to that frog. I wonder if there's something wrong with him." And he picked up Dan'l and turned him upside down, and out came a whole lot of bullets. And Smiley was the angriest man. He set the frog down and took out after that man, but he never caught him. Now, Simon Wheeler heard his name called and got up to see what was wanted. He told me to wait, but I did not think that more stories about Jim Smiley would give me any more information about Leonidas W. Smiley. And so I started to walk away. At the door, I met Mr. Wheeler returning, and he started talking again. "Well, this here Smiley had a yellow cow with one eye and no tail. However, lacking both time and interest, I did not wait to hear about the cow. I just left."
You have heard the American story, The Celebrated Jumping Frog of Calaveras County. Your storyteller was Shep O'Neill. This story was written by Mark Twain and adapted for Learning English by Karen Leggett. Listen again next week at this time for another American story from VOA Learning English. I'm Mario Ritter.